Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. Try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of sun. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of pine. Pockets running over with the dollar sign. Try to take it from me.
Welcome to episode 318 of Forrest and John. I'm Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Hollis Thomas, a.k.a. Damn Skippy. And tonight, you know, we're doing the Eagles-Titans preview, but we have a special guest. Shout out to David Beauclair of Believe in Titans and Sports Illustrated. We're going to the experts to get, some answers. But just want to welcome you to the stream today, David. How are you today, man?
Hey, I'm good, boys. How are you guys?
Doing well, man. Doing well.
Now, pre-show, you gave us a little nugget of information that you said that you were a Philly guy. Let's hear how that started.
Grew up Bucks County, actually, Doylestown specifically, and cried like a baby when the Eagles lost Super Bowl, 15, I guess, to the Raiders. And I can remember being home from school sick and was watching TV a couple years later when the local news broke in with the press conference that Dick Vermeil was leaving. And I was I'm a little bit bitter at him to this day about that. I don't know that I've ever gotten over it, a couple years ago when the Eagles did win the Super Bowl, was one of the most enjoyable days of my life. Had a text chain going with a bunch of my buddies from back home, and to be able to enjoy the game that way was really something.
But did you shed tears like Vermeil this time around?
I did not. No, I okay. I've been in the business a long time now. I've kind of lost touch with what it is to be a fan in a lot of cases. But that day was a good reminder. That day was fun. Yeah,
of course. Yeah. That's awesome, man. That's really awesome. I'm just sitting here, and I want to jump right into it with the with the AJ Brown thing, man. The big story for the Eagles this offseason between the Eagles and Titans is obviously the AJ Brown story. Yeah. And so I got to be honest with you. I was not expecting the success that the Titans have been having this year after losing a guy like an AJ Brown. But here they are sitting at 7-3, right?
And 7-4, yeah.
7-4. So what do you think in this offense is really is obviously Derrick Henry, but like what other factors of that offense are really helping?
Yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry's obviously the key to the whole thing, right? And and even when AJ was here, Derrick Henry was still the central figure to this offense, but I think the big thing is Mike Vrabel and his staff deserve credit for being honest with themselves from year to year, even week to week, with who they are, what they are, what they think they can do, what they don't think they can do. And you just go back to the Houston game 4 weeks ago, the first game that Ryan Tannehill missed with an injury. Texans had the worst rushing defense in the league going into that. Titans are going to go with a rookie quarterback in Malik Willis, who is still very much a work in progress. And what happened? The Titans just handed the ball off all game long. Willis threw it 10 times. They didn't go into it saying, well, our scheme is such that we've got to throw here, we've got to do this. It's like, no, whatever we have to do to win a game, that's what we're going to do. And AJ Brown's absence has been noticeable. This team does not throw the ball nearly as well as it did the last couple of years. Defenses play them very differently because there's no one among that wide receiver group who scares you the way an AJ Brown scares you. So it's all about trying to stop Derrick Henry, and the offensive line has done enough to get Derrick Henry the yards he needs for this team to win some games and you know, being in complete control of the division right now. I mean, it's almost a foregone conclusion at this point that they're finishing first.
Nice. What do you think went into them trading a guy like AJ Brown, who's a number one receiver, who's done everything that they've asked him to do? What was it? What went into all that thinking that the Trey Burke kid was going to be the answer?
Well, it was more. I mean, the Titans wanted to sign AJ to a long term extension, and they were having talks about, you know, getting that done, and so finally at one point, general manager John Robinson goes to you know, this is what people have told me, people on the inside, John Robinson goes to AJ Brown's people and says, you know, okay, what do you want? What's it going to take to keep you here? And the answer was, well, we want $80 million, 4 years with, you know, $40 million guaranteed or whatever. And so John Robinson goes back to his people and everything and comes back and says, okay, I think we can get you close on the money and the guarantee we should have no problem with. So, you know, let's go ahead, get the finer points of this deal done. And that's when AJ Brown's people came back and said, oh, did we say 80 million? We meant 100 million and we want 70 million guaranteed. And that's when John Robinson said, okay, we're really not negotiating here, right? That's what that thing is. And so he had, you know, he had a choice to make then. Do we play out the last year of AJ's contract, knowing how good he's going to be, knowing how important he is, or do we make a move for the future now? And they, he went back. He said, well, what do you guys want? Where do you want to go? I'll trade you. And you know, AJ apparently said, well, you know, Jalen Hurts and I have always been friends. I think it might be fun to play with him. And so there you go. They bring Treylon Burks in, who's a similar body, similar skill set. He's had sort of a slower start to his career than AJ did, but he's been building the last couple weeks trending in a positive direction.
Don't tell me that touchdown that he recovered in the end zone is positive, because we had a guy. We just had JJ Arcega-Whiteside. That was his only touchdown here.
I mean, he did recover. He did recover a fumble. That's his only touchdown to this point. But he's starting to make plays down the field. Starting to make the contested catches. He's shown a little bit of the run after the catch. You know, the kinds of things that AJ's so good at. He's a completely different personality. You know, like, I mean, you guys have seen it. AJ's one of those guys. He just brings excitement whether he tries or not. Treylon Burks is a very dialed down, very quiet sort of kid, and won't bring that same sort of juice to an offense. But he certainly. I mean, he's in a terrible situation. It was one thing because Titans were actually talking about Treylon Burks a month or so ahead of the draft, and the idea was, well, you have AJ Brown on one side, Treylon Burks on the other, and you know that would be great. However long it took Treylon Burks to develop, but then when you trade AJ Brown to get the pick to draft Treylon Burks, and you're saying, yeah, he's the same kind of guy, we need him to be AJ Brown. I mean, that is asking an awful lot for a franchise that, in its time in Tennessee, it drafted a number of wide receivers in the first or second round, and none of them lived up to expectations until AJ Brown. I mean, he was the guy fans in this town had been waiting for two decades now.
Wow.
Now, as I look at your defense, I sit here as we're talking about AJ Brown. I wonder what kind of damage our passing attack can do against your guys' secondary. And eight different players on your team have interceptions so far this year. So can you just speak a little bit more to the secondary and how they've been covering the pass game?
Well, the big thing is the front four is really, really good and really disruptive. And Hollis, I know you can certainly appreciate what that means to the rest of the defense. And what it means is they don't have to send extra blitzers. They can sit in coverage. They have help at a number of different places. It's not just one safety over the top on one side and everybody else take your chances. And they do a good job sort of mixing their coverages that way. But you know, you're talking Jeffrey Simmons up front, who's the closest thing in the league, I think, right now to to Aaron Donald. You've got Nico Autry, who is one of the most versatile players on this defense. He's a guy who can line up over the nose. He can be standing up on the outside and leads the team in sacks. He's probably not going to play Sunday. He's nursing a knee injury, but he's been a real problem for offenses. And those guys have forced quarterbacks to throw quickly, throw, you know, off the spot sort of thing, and the defensive backs have been in the right spot. But having said that, this defense has also given up a lot of big plays, and when they've given up big plays, it's been factors. It's cost them because of the low scoring nature of the games the Titans played. So there are opportunities to take advantage of this secondary if you give your quarterback time to throw.
Well, also talk about it's been a bunch of players that's getting interceptions in the secondary, but is that because it's a lot of your secondary has been injured?
Yeah, well, there's some of that. Yeah, I mean, Christian Fulton is their best cover cornerback. He's had a hamstring injury off and on. Roger McCreary, the rookie on the other side, has played every game, but he's kind of moved inside and out. They've had Terrence Mitchell, a veteran they brought in, he was a healthy scratch actually last Sunday, which was something different. They've played a lot of three safeties with Kevin Byard and Andrew Adams. You know, Andrew Adams, a guy who was in Philly in 2021 during the offseason and preseason. Those are the two primary safeties, and then Amani Hooker, who is normally their strong safety, he's been going down and playing the slot cornerback more. But Hooker's been in and out of the lineup a little bit. They've had a number of different guys, but linebacker David Long, for example, made a great play against, I guess it was the Raiders, maybe in week 3 to seal a win. It was Washington. It was against the Commanders to seal the win there. So it's not just the DBs that have been getting their hands. And a funny thing about this defense, Tyer Tart, a 315-pound nose tackle, tied for the team lead in passes defense. Because that's another thing these guys do. They do a really good job getting their hands up.
Yep.
You know, Mike Vrabel talks about mirroring the hand. Like, you just wherever the quarterback's hand with the ball goes, you put your hand, you know, in that path. And
it's a long start.
Yeah, they've done a really good job with that this year.
And I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead, Vrabel,
I mean, I have to hand it to him, man. I think that Vrabel has transitioned into an excellent head coach in this league. I really do respect what he does. And, you know, I think he puts a good squad out there each year.
He's the son of a high school basketball coach, so he kind of understands the nature of coaching and teaching. He saw it up close when he was a kid. And it was funny, you know, because he didn't have a long run-up to becoming a head coach, right? I mean, he was at Ohio State for 3 years and then was at Houston for 4 years, only one as a coordinator before he got this job.
He was with the Chiefs as well.
What's that?
He was a player.
He was a player with the Chiefs. That's where he crossed paths with Nick Sirianni.
Gotcha.
He was still playing with the Chiefs, and
I thought he started as like a general assistant with the Chiefs as well.
I don't think maybe he did, but the point being, it was a pretty quick rise for him, and when he first got the job, he made the mistake that I think a lot of first time head coaches make, which was that he felt like he was coaching everything and everybody. I imagine him telling the folks in the cafeteria, you know, how to fry a steak, and he was telling the media that this is how you're going to behave when you're in the locker room. You're going to ask these questions. You're not going to ask these, you know, all this kind of thing. We're all looking at him like, you know, you're not my coach. Like, and his credit, you know, as I said, you know, he's very good at being honest with himself about what his team is. He's also been very good at sort of self-analysis and through the first year and 2 years on the job, I think he really took stock regularly of what am I doing well, what am I not doing well, and he eventually figured it out, which is the most important thing is my players and making sure my players have a chance to succeed, knowing that, you know, we care about them and that we're going to do everything we can to help them be successful individually and collectively. And you can tell right now, I mean, his message gets through because the things he says on Wednesday are the same things the players are saying Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Sunday. You know, it's not like it goes in one ear and out the other with them. He, you know, they are on board with him right now.
Now, speaking of his coaching staff, everything has been all rosy. What's up with Todd Downing?
Todd Downing's having him a Todd season. Downing. He's you know, he's gone from a hashtag fire Todd Downing to a headline with the drunk driving arrest here a little more than a week ago. But you know, the team hasn't done anything with him, because I think what's going to happen is the team's going to let the league handle it, because it's not going to be just about disciplining Todd Downing. It's going to be about disciplining the team. If you look at the timeline of how everything played out in the wake of that Green Bay game, from the time the team landed in Nashville to what the time it takes the buses to get back to the team facility, and then for somebody to get in the car and drive home to where Todd Downing was headed. I mean, it's not like he stopped at a bar somewhere and had four or five pops, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean,
I know what you're talking about, but in the same right, how do you go from coaching your best game that you've ever coached in your offense coordinator coaching career, your most brilliant game ever?
Yeah.
To going, what was it, 100 plus, 85 to 100 plus?
Yeah.
It's not
a good look. It's not a good decision, but I think, you know, I think the team is ultimately going to be disciplined for allowing alcohol on the team plane, and Downing's going to get, you never saw it when you were on a team plane, right?
Why, whatever do you mean?
Todd Downing has not been a fan favorite. This is his second year on the job, and his biggest crime is he's not Arthur Smith, who, of course, after 2 years went to become the head coach of the Falcons. And Arthur Smith, you know, I've been covering the NFL for almost 25 years now. Arthur Smith is the best I have ever seen. You know, every coach talks about, hey, we're not going to ask guys to do things they can't do. We're just going to focus on what they can do, put them in positions to succeed. Most can't do that. Arthur Smith did that unfailingly. I mean, he was and the numbers they put up in the 2 years that he was the offensive coordinator speak for themselves. And so A, Todd Downing is not Arthur Smith, and B, the offensive line has gotten a little worse every year. Derrick Henry's gotten a little older every year, plus missed half a year with an injury in Todd Downing's first year as offensive coordinator. You know, you go from 1 year where you have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones as your wide receivers now to having Robert Woods and Nick Westbrook Akina and eventually working Treylon Burks in there. I mean, he's not playing the same game that Arthur Smith was, but people just look at the scores and they say, this team hasn't scored more than 24 points in a game this year. He must be terrible. So he was getting a lot of heat for that. And then the DUI thing didn't help him at all.
Well, I have watched some of his games, and he's not doing himself any justice with his play call. And that's just my own personal assessment. Sometimes you wonder when you have an offensive line who needs confidence, you run the ball. They run the ball a lot, but it's kind of the runs that you're choosing. It's like you in order to put a defensive line on notice, you got to hit them in the mouth. You got to hit them in the mouth early enough. You have a bruising back that, as a defensive lineman, I don't want to see him get going. And it was like, I think that's the bit of the disconnect that I see between him and Arthur. So it's like I think he's playing too finesse, though.
Well,
don't want to see them get it together this week, though.
Yeah, but when you look at this offensive line, right? They're on their fourth different starting right tackle in as many years,
and he was a guard.
They went from Jack Conklin, who was an All-Pro, to Dennis Kelly, a guy folks in Philly might remember, who's a really good solid pro, to David Quisenberry, who was in the league for 6 years before he ever made his first start in the NFL, to now a rookie third-round pick, Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, who got the job only because last year's second-round pick, Dylan Radins, who was all but, you know, written in stone to have that job this season, was so bad throughout the preseason they had to find somebody else, right? And then they go from Roger Saffold the last couple of years, a Pro Bowl left guard, to Aaron Brewer, who is 295 pounds. And you know, like he's an athletic and he's a tough Texan kid. And, you know, Mike Vrabel made headlines in training camp. He referred to him as tougher than a $2 steak, but he is not Roger Saffold. Right. And then you've got left tackle Taylor Lewan, who's a 3-time Pro Bowler. He's out for the year with a knee injury, and they've got Dennis Daly,
who was a guard.
Yeah, I mean, they got him from Carolina at the start of the regular season, so he didn't even have the benefit of, you know. So the offensive line is not one that's going to go maul people the way the Eagles' offensive line will, for example. They're just trying to get enough of a crease to get Derrick Henry to the second level, because when Derrick Henry gets to the second level, he becomes a problem. And then it's more like, look, we can only do so much, Derrick. You know, you got to go do the rest once we get you there.
Now, from an outsider's perspective, you know, talking about the Titans offense, you start looking around and it's always the head that you look at. And the head is Ryan Tannehill. Now, Ryan Tannehill, I think, you know, in past years, you know, people have had the target around him. And in this recent season, he's had a solid season this year. What do you think Tannehill has to do this upcoming week to perform well against this Eagles defense?
The thing that Tannehill needs to do is what he's done well since he replaced Marcus Mariota in, you know, 7 games into the 2019 season. His biggest strength for this offense has been that he makes the right pre-snap reads more often. You know, like when you've got the check with me, it's either going to be a run or a pass. And based on what I see, I'll make the call at the line and then we'll go. He does a really nice job with that. He's more athletic than he gets credit for, you know, can run well, times his runs well to move the chains and that sort of thing. But he's a pretty accurate passer, The key for Tannehill is to sort of live up to the moments. He had never been in a playoff game in his years in Miami. He's now been in 5 with the Titans. He's 2-3 as a starting quarterback in those games. In the 2 wins, he didn't throw it more than 15 times. It was Derrick Henry dominating. Anytime the Titans have needed him to throw more than 15 times in a playoff game, they've ended up coming up short. So there's and you look, just, you know, you can go back to January in the playoff game against Cincinnati when this team was the number one seed in the AFC. He throws 3 interceptions in that one. He threw one on the first play of the game. He threw one on his last throw of the game, and it was just kind of a disastrous performance all around where he didn't measure up. So I don't know that this is if you buy that premise that the moment can intimidate him a little bit. I don't know that this is that moment, because, you know, the Titans are going into Philly at 7-4 with nothing to lose, right? They're 3 up in the win column in their division. The Eagles are the best team in football. Their defense is, you know, their defense is tremendous. This is exactly the kind of game the Titans have won repeatedly the last couple of years. They end up losing games. Like, they lost one to Houston last year. They lost one to Jacksonville the year before. You know, in 2020 they lost one to Cincinnati when Cincinnati was 1-5. Like, those are the games where the Titans tend to lay an egg. Tannehill seems to be really, really good when there's absolutely nothing to lose, and I think that's
his game.
This one, so he might surprise some people on Sunday that way.
So looking forward, actually, to the offseason beyond this game, while we're on the topic of Ryan Tannehill, because I'm looking here, and I'm actually I knew Ryan Tannehill's been in the league for a while. I didn't realize he's going to be 35 next year.
And
he is going to. It looks like there is an out in his contract this offseason.
Damn skippy. That would be
$18.8 million in dead cap. With them drafting a guy like Malik Willis, full disclosure, Malik Willis was my favorite quarterback coming out in this draft. I love.
Yeah, right. Bandwagon jumper. Go ahead, Bob.
Go back and watch the podcast then, Hollis. But so I love to meet some Malik Willis. Do you think that it turns into the Malik Willis show next year?
I absolutely do, and I'll put it to you this way: Ryan Tannehill has the highest single salary cap number in the NFL this year. If you're the Titans, do you feel good about that? Like, I mean, do you, I mean, yeah, you've won games with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback, but are you happy that he has the biggest salary cap number? I don't think
you just said you can't count on him above 19 passes a game.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think anybody can feel comfortable about that. And what we saw with Malik Willis, it was interesting in the preseason. There was a lot of talk. Okay, it's a competition between Malik Willis and Logan Woodside, who has been the backup quarterback here. Kind of a nondescript, you know, sort of reminds me of Jim Sorgi, if you remember the guy who carried Peyton Manning's clipboard forever.
They finally got in there, stunk up the joint.
He's that kind of guy. He's just good enough to be a backup, but not good enough to play. But you know, there was a lot of discussion about the competition between Willis and Woodside to be the number two. And what quickly became apparent, if you were paying attention, was that the only competition was between Malik Willis and what Titans coaches thought was good enough to be the number two quarterback. And the whole preseason was about getting him to that point and making sure that, okay, when we get into the season, we don't have to keep three quarterbacks on the active roster. We can keep Malik Willis here. We can get him some snaps and some funky personnel formations and things during the game. Maybe a start or two, which has happened when Ryan Tannehill hurt his ankle. And I think the same thing is going to take place next offseason. And that's going to be that it's not going to be a question of Willis versus Tannehill. It's going to be, is Malik Willis good enough, or can we get him to the point that he's good enough to be a starting quarterback? Even if he's not as good as Tannehill, if we get him to the point that we think he's a good enough starting quarterback, that they're going to make the move. And I think almost certainly that yes, Ryan Tannehill will be a cap casualty. And I think Tannehill knows that. You know, Tannehill made headlines right after the draft when he said, well, I don't think it's my job to mentor him. And you know, he kind of caught some flack for that. But I think what he was really saying was like, look, they're going to give him the job soon enough. You know, like, I'm not here to help him out. You know, take it from me kind of thing.
Would you not want to sell yourself as a quality leader for the next team? You know what I mean?
He's generally pretty good about that. That was a quote that was kind of out of character for him. But I think I think there was probably a little bit of genuine emotion involved there, because been a good situation for him. And I think he understood exactly what it meant the moment that Malik Willis was drafted.
Well, when you look at the whole situation, when you come out and say something like that, that means you're not concentrating on winning. That's like, because we try to put a winning team together. And anything that makes the team better should be part of what you're okay with. And if it means mentoring this young kid, or if it's like, so you're gonna be a dick to a kid who just got in there, who's looking to be on the team and looking to make the team better? What if you go down? Yeah, he might take your job, but if you do what you need to do when you're supposed to do it, you don't have to worry about stuff like that. So I don't. When cats say stuff like that, I kind of don't want him on my motherfucking team. Excuse the language, but when you say stuff like that, I was like, you're not about the team. It's like, because they'll continue at every other position. They'll bring guys in no matter what you think or what you say. And if you don't want them to bring somebody in at your position, do better. Do better. It's like if you don't do better, somebody will be coming to take your job. Hey, that's how life is.
When Matt Hasselbeck was the quarterback here, he used to say that his theory was always, you know, you're not competing with the other guys in the locker room. You're competing with everybody in the world who plays the same position you do, because those guys up in the front office, they are constantly looking at the waiver wire, and they are constantly looking at practice squads, and they are doing those sorts of things.
Beauclair, there's a reason why they gave us Tuesday off. That's when they bring out all the people in to work out.
Yeah, that's right.
If you're not ever doing anything on a Tuesday, go over to any NFL facility. I guarantee you there's at least 5 to 7 guys working out to see if they're still in shape, to see if they can improve their roster some type of way.
Yeah, and if there are 3 wide receivers and you're a wide receiver and you're sitting there looking at that, you're going, wait a minute.
Don't answer your phone.
Yeah.
You know, talking about being better, a lot of people have noticed that Derrick Henry hasn't rushed over 100 yards in the last three games.
Correct.
You know, is this – you do you see the Eagles' defensive line? Obviously, they have a strong front with Fletcher Cox, Hargraves, you know,
hopefully Joseph, and hopefully
Jordan Davis is back. So do you feel that it's going to be one of, you know, a tougher defensive lines for him to run through? I don't know, you know, if they got Jordan Davis back, it's another story up front.
Yeah, I think the big thing is center Ben Jones has missed the last two games with a concussion, and he'll be back in there this week, and that'll help. But what you know, what has happened is teams are going more with this sort of 6-1 front where they they just sort of overloaded the immediate line of scrimmage and are daring the Titans to sort out who is. I mean, the idea is somebody's going to get penetration, right? And it makes perfect sense, because if you go back to 2016 when Derrick Henry was coming out of Alabama and you read all the pre-draft reports on him, they say exactly the same thing that is true now, which is if you get to him within his first two or three steps, you can get him to the ground pretty easily. He's kind of a normal back that way. It's when once he gets up to speed and gets to the second level and is dealing with linebackers and defensive backs and whatnot, that he turns into a really, really big problem. So that's what everybody's doing, is they're putting six guys up there. They're slanting them through. They're trying, you know, the idea is somebody's going to be in the backfield, make him take a half a step or make him stop and look to cut right away. And once that happens, you've got him. Now, that being said, Derrick Henry historically in November and particularly December is much better, much more productive than he is in the early part of the year. He's a guy who has always gotten better. In fact, in December and January games, he's averaged 102 yards. And this is, you know, this is a guy who wasn't particularly productive even in his first couple of years in the league. So he is, you know, he is, there is a sort of sense that, okay, we flip the calendar. It's now December. This is Derrick Henry's time of the year. I think fans down here in Nashville are really looking forward to that. But there is some, at the same time, there is some legitimate concern when you look at the number of carries he had in 2019 and 2020 in particular. When you look at the nature of the injury he had last year, which is a foot injury that required him to have a plate and some screws inserted into the foot, you know, there is the sort of sense that, okay, he's somewhere in his decline now, which is going to happen to every running back. We know that. And you haven't seen him run away from defenders the way that you've typically seen him. He's had long runs. He's turned some screen passes into long gains. There was the one Sunday, but what happened even at the end of the one on Sunday, he got caught from behind in such a way that the guy even knocked the ball loose, right? Like, that has never happened in the, in his 6 years in the league. So there is this fear at the same time that, okay, this isn't the same Derrick Henry. This isn't a guy who's going to be better at the end of the season. He might actually be wearing down as this season goes. So I think this game Sunday is a really, really interesting barometer that way, just to see how it is that, you know, how he does against this particular defense. And if he does have one of his better days, then that's going to create a lot of excitement down here for what is to come the remainder of this month.
Uh-huh. Well, we're not looking to create no excitement down there. we're looking to make sure that y'all down in the dumps at least for 1 week. Yeah. The thing I do know about the steel plate is it takes a minute for you to I got the screw. I think was it the fifth metatarsal that he broke?
I believe that's correct. Yes.
Yeah, I had the same surgery that, but they did a bone graft with mine, and it takes a minute for you to get truly back up to speed and get to running the way you know how, because it's going to stay stiff because you have that hardware in there, and it's going to feel like crap. It's like, you know,
yeah, but I mean,
as I put it this way, I don't want to see him coming.
he's still second in the league in rushing, right? He still has 10 rushing touchdowns. It's not like, you know, it's not like he's chopped meat out there, but
he just
doesn't look like he's quite the same guy. He's not quite as dominant, not quite as fast as
you tell one of the BBs that's waiting on that stiff arm that he's not quite as fast. He's not quite as strong.
He still has that, practices it darn near every day. The running backs coach even has a helmet on a stick that he comes at him with all sorts of different angles and Henry's constantly practicing on slapping that thing away.
Now, David, I know you have to get out of here shortly, but before you get out of here, you know, I'd love to get a prediction from your expertise and your knowledge about the Titans. These Titans, and I know you're a Philly guy, but I'd love to get your honest opinion on what you think is going to happen.
I will say when the Titans came up there in 2000, I went out with some of my buddies the night before the game. I was on the road that year. And I predicted a 16-13 Titans win. The Titans actually won 15-13. So
I was in that game.
I was kind of a hero. I was kind of a hero among my boys. Al Del Greco kicked 5 field goals in the freezing cold in Veterans Stadium there.
I kicked Bruce Matthews' ass. Whipped him like cornbread batter.
Of course, he was about 47 at that time. So,
did he put his hand in the dirt? No. I pray on the week. If you let me, I will kick your ass.
He was your pigeon. Was he your pigeon?
Yeah, he was my pigeon. Now, Brad Hopkins, him and Hugh had words.
Oh, is that right? Well, Hugh had words with everybody, though, didn't he? I mean, that was just another day at the office there. But
yeah, it was.
But I'll say this: the you know, if you're a gambling man or woman, I would encourage you to bet the under, because the one thing the Titans are going to do is they're going to drag you down into the mud with them and yep. make it a low scoring game. I mean, this offense is even when this offense is going well, it's not going to move the ball in big chunks, right? It's just going to eat up time off the clock. So so even a really good or really efficient offensive performance that way is going to lead to a low scoring game almost certainly. But you look at the teams that have beaten the Titans this year. It's the Cincinnati Bengals at 7-4. It's the Kansas City Chiefs at 8-3. It's the New York Giants who are, you know, very much in the playoff hunt in that hellacious NFC East. And it's, the Buffalo Bills whipped them in week 2, right? In the meantime, they have victories over Las Vegas, over Washington when Washington wasn't playing well, two over the Colts. They beat Denver. So the Titans seem to have found their level, which is somewhere between the really good teams and somewhere between the bad teams. The Titans seem to be sort of one of the worst of the good teams, I would say, and I think the Eagles will have enough. I think they'll make more big plays, and particularly if Philly's defense continues to force turnovers. I think there are some turnovers to be had against this Titans offense. So I'm going to say something along the lines of 23-13, maybe. I'll say the Eagles win.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay. And I mean, you bring up how the Titans are able to extend their drives and chunk their way up the field. And I mean, we look at back at the one loss that the Eagles had this year, and that's exactly the formula that Washington used to beat us. They kept our offense off the field and they just chunked their way up the field. I think they ended
not
up Chuck, having like
not Chuck, it's their way up field. It's their way.
I think they had 20 more minutes of possession.
Yeah, chunk means that they got a big play. It's not a chunk play.
You don't know how big a chunk I was talking about. Talking about little tiny chunks.
Awkward. But no, but it was like they do their defense does get off the field on third down. I think they're in the top with getting off the. They only give up 30% of third downs, and their offense also, they're not good on third down. They're right at 36% on third down. So
yeah, they're really good in the red zone when they can get there. They've been really good, really efficient for the most part. But you know, a lot of that goes to the teams that are effective. With Derrick Henry, you force them into second, third, and long. Third and long, in particular, is a terrible, terrible situation for this offense. And that's where I think this game will maybe turn, because the Eagles have a much better ability to convert third and long. When you look at their options in AJ Brown and Devontae Smith and Quay Watkins and Miles Sanders can do what he can do. I think they will have the opportunity to make more of those plays than a lot of other teams in the NFL and certainly have against the Titans. And again, I mentioned Danico Autry is not going to play and. I mean, it's a small sample size. He's only missed one game so far, but.
What about Bud Dupree?
Bud's a really good, physical, tough player. But the more I see Bud, he's not the guy who disrupts everything. He's the guy who sets the edge well and so that somebody else can make a tackle in the run game. He's a guy who gets a lot of quarterback pressures. But not as many sacks. You know, he'll be the guy who forces the quarterback up into Jeffrey Simmons or Danico Autry, you know, what have you. He has not been, in the time that he's been here, he's not been that disruptive guy the way, you know, a T.J. Watt was on the other side of him in his time in Pittsburgh, for example.
Cool. And before you get out of here, let everyone know where they can find you at.
I'm on Twitter at Beauclair Sports. It's going across the screen now, or my coverage this week and every week is at si.com/NFL/Titans. And I've had a blast. It's good to be with you guys tonight. Thanks for having me.
Next time we play the Titans, hop back on, man.
I was nice to you this time.
I cheered for you back in the day at some point, I'm sure, Holly. Come on, you gotta be nice to me.
You just told me you picked against me.
I was right though. I mean, it's about winning, right? I was the winner that day.
Did you win some money?
No, not back then. No.
Hey man, we always appreciate a Philly guy, so you're always welcome. And we'll talk to you soon, man.
Sounds great. Thanks again, boys.
Thanks, man.
Take care. Good luck, man.
That was hilarious, man. He's a Philly guy. Very informative. Obviously, wanted to give someone else's take on the Titans. I think, generally speaking, do you think that their Titans running game comes back against the Eagles' defense?
Well, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that. I was thinking the same thing. It was like he was mentioning this, Lance, and one of our esteemed listeners said, Gannon's not going to slant. And see that now you see what I'm talking about. We have some deficiencies in their secondary. I know for a fact that they've been running through a bunch of secondary guys. That's why a lot of guys have picks, is because they get in there and they put them in situations because he's slanting, he's disguising stuff. You don't know who he's going to bring. Some people call it exotic. I call it trap plays, because you have to trick and trap the offensive line, because they always know what's going on defensively. It's easy for them to block. It's like, if you ask any offensive lineman, what's the easiest block for them? Is when you don't move, when you don't slant, when you're not looping anywhere. Because when that man leaves, it's like, damn, what do I go next? Especially if you whiff. Because if you whiff, you turn around and you're looking at him, and not only have you let him in, you let everybody else in. But we continue to be vanilla, not even French vanilla, just plain vanilla. We vanilla bean. We don't. It's like you have to. You, at some point, you have to do something to put the other people on notice and let them know that our guys will not be where you think they are. That's why I call traps and zone traps. I watched it. I love their defense coordinator. Their defense coordinator puts you on notice. Lets you know that sometimes there'll be a linebacker, sometimes there'll be a safety coming. He may rush four, he may rush five, but he puts you on notice and he switches up the coverage and does a lot of exotic things to keep the. That's why their tops end up getting out the field on third down. They only give up 30% on third down. You know, do you know what? When you're a good defense, you aspire to give up 33% on third down and get the and get three and outs to get your offense back on the field. Dude, you know how great that would be for our defense to do.
It would be
for
nice.
Our offense.
The thing I was thinking about was really, you know, like these teams that have beaten the Titans, or you know, bringing guys, the extra guys down the box. I'm thinking, I'm like, okay, Gann, you see what they've done to stop their running game, and
right.
Are you going to do what you do, Gannon, and you play the too high, or are you going to bring that extra guy in the box and then and man it up across the way and trust your guys, or are you going to stick to what you do? I'd like to see him think outside the box and do what is best. To stop.
I have a quick question. If you were a defense coordinator, mm-hmm. and you were playing against Ryan Tannehill,
yep.
Are you and with Derrick Henry behind him, are you gonna have a two high safety?
I mean, he's not really a threat to go over the top.
That's what I'm saying. So okay, yeah. So let me explain. See, when somebody comes out and they're talking about RPOs and you know, pre snap read, mm-hmm. when the quarterback comes up, he looks. If there's six in the box and we outnumber you. That means two high safeties. That means you have two high safeties. We are running.
Yeah, exactly.
We are running.
So what? Say,
but I would rather Tannehill throw the ball. It's like bring a guy down and make him a robber, and then kick him out late.
That's literally what I was just about to ask you. What's your thoughts on bringing in a guy like N'Kobe Dean and kind of just having Marcus Epps play over the top, and we can have another linebacker on the field to try and contain Derrick Henry?
You're gonna have to do something. I was like, you're gonna have to slant. You're gonna have to put some guys on the line. Some guys to make him go east and west. Because if he gets north and south, it's gonna be god awful for our linebackers and our secondary. It's gonna be a damn highlight reel out there.
I definitely think Jordan Davis is playing this Sunday. I
hope so.
And if he does, it's gonna make all the difference in the world.
He said, you know, he's the morale is very high. He said he's feeling great. He said it's really up to the coaches if he plays on Sunday. So obviously, you know where his brain is at. I think I really do think he's an X factor, man.
Yeah, I think he's an X factor too, but I also think it's just like what Boquist said. If you slant it like if we don't need to bring him back just yet, because I'm a little leery of the high ankle sprain, you know, if we don't have to bring him back yet and we can slant and we can get through this game and push him out just a little bit, because you know, and give him just a little bit more time to rest on ankles to have him later in the season. I'm for that, but if we're gonna line up stripe to stripe and they're gonna know where we are, it's gonna be a long damn day. Mm-hmm. Is it? If you listen to what Beauclair said, this is one of the games that they get up for, because we're 10-1. It's like we're the hot bitch right now. Everybody's trying to fuck us. So it's like, but I'm just saying, it's like we're 10-1. But if you look at it. We're the most disrespected 10-1 team that I've ever seen in the NFL. They keep talking about all these other bitches, how they the best teams in the NFL.
I know. Power rankings discussion is just hilarious because they fight, they claw their way just to keep the Eagles out of the top spot. They hate that the Eagles end up with number one.
I was having this conversation yesterday with someone, and I was just like, I almost kind of like the fact that the media does disrespect in a way that it keeps us hungry. You know, obviously they don't care what the media says, but
yeah,
everyone sees the disrespect. You know, they'll put it up on a bulletin board, give them some bulletin board material. Like, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like this team is focused in the locker room. They're locked in and laser focused. So I feel like, but it is funny to see how we are. Portrait.
You want to hear some other? It's some other. I got a couple of other funny queries for you. One of them, they dubbed us as the rudest fans in NFL, which is bullshit because I see a lot of them other fans just rolling up on me, talking about, I don't know who you play for, but I'm such a fan. So what the fuck are you talking to me for? Can I have a picture with you? No, you're such. Remember, you said you're such a fan, and then hey, get all indignant. But that's neither here nor there. We're number one at something.
I'm just saying that's an awful thing to point at and be like, no, nah, yeah, you know, we're fine. I don't take pictures with fans of other teams. I'm not a dick.
I'm a dick, but they come up to me and say, I'm a fan of another team, but I know who you are. Can I take a picture? Can I get your autograph? What kind of shit is that?
It only happens, man.
I know, but back to
or is it used? Well, what if it's a little kid?
If it's a little kid, he's gonna learn a lesson that day.
Wow.
So people aren't allowed to be fans of other teams.
they can be fans of other teams, but you don't need to tell me that. You don't need to tell me that. So I'm gonna tell you what you get when you say, "I ain't your fan, but you know, but I'll take your autograph." Such and such wanted. It's like, well, you have such and such, come get it. You get what you put out. And
anyways,
everybody keeps talking about OBJ. Nobody gives a damn about that shit. He's coming off a knee surgery. And, he's visiting Buffalo. He's visiting the Giants and he's visiting the Cowboys. And you see, Marcus Spears almost like, "Oh, I can't wait." If y'all get him, what you gonna do? He's coming off of knee surgery, major knee surgery. Chumps. It's like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
And it's like, thank you. That's the disrespect we're getting. They're worried about this clown who got pulled off the watch collar. He pulled off the airport at the airport in Miami. You know he got pulled off the plane because he was caught up in his feelings.
Yeah.
And I'm not ruining the kid's dream. If I was his dream, he wouldn't have came up and said he was a fan of another team. Well, you learned a valuable lesson, kid.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about Philly sports trips right here. The ultimate sports bus trip to MetLife Stadium is December 11th.
I'm checking
with them. If you would like to tailgate, go to a game. The Birds Ultimate Chicago tailgate is December 6th, no, 18th. That's the Bird Ultimate Chicago tailgate. And if you like the Nets to see their asses get kicked by the Sixers, check out their February 11th trip to Brooklyn. And then we have a spring training trip.
Three nights, baby.
For Phillies, three night
Dan
trip.
Skippy.
March 10th, 2023. It's 2023 already. We're already talking about that. That's probably right after the Eagles winning their Super Bowl February 12th in Arizona. So you might have to add another trip on there, Philly sports trips.
You know it.
I was looking at the schedule, man. Yeah. That Super Bowl was February 12th.
Yeah, I can't believe that the Senior Bowl precedes it.
Senior Bowl was February 4th.
Oh, cool.
Tank, you go to the Senior Bowl?
I might go down there with you guys. I have some people in Alabama, business partners, and just people in general in life, you know. Maybe I'll go see Bo Jackson. No.
You know Bo Jackson?
Nah, I know Joe Morris. And Joe Washington.
Okay.
Both running backs, small running backs, you know.
Joe Morris from the Giants.
Yeah.
You know Mean Joe Green?
Yes, I met Mean Joe Green twice.
You cried? Did he sign your autograph?
I didn't ask for an autograph. What the hell am I asking? I just told him it was a pleasure to meet him. He was one of my childhood idols.
That's why I asked. He said
thank you, and he complimented me on the way I played.
Is there anybody that you would see out in public, sports or non-sports, that you would ask for their autograph?
Not really.
SpongeBob, he would.
I would ask for SpongeBob. I'd just take a picture. I'd take a picture with him.
Yeah,
so I have it for always.
When I went out to
LA. Take a picture to last longer.
When I went out to LA at our hotel, they had we didn't know that another group was going to be out there. And then I was looking out my balcony. And then all of a sudden, I see SpongeBob dancing on a balcony. I was like, what the?
It wasn't the real SpongeBob.
It was the real SpongeBob.
It was the real
SpongeBob. It was the real SpongeBob. And I was like, I said to myself, if Hollis was here, what would he do? What would Hollis do?
I don't know. I might take a picture. You may take a video.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what we like to speak things into existence over here. Okay. Obviously, we're thinking W's here all the way around here. Who's going to be our, if this happens like we think it is, who's going to be our offensive MVP?
Again, comeback game. AJ Brown's got something to prove, man. I feel like he has, he's the running game has kind of somewhat took over the past couple games. I feel like these wide receivers feel like they haven't gotten their just due. I see AJ Brown playing against this old team and wanting to show them what they're missing out on.
I feel like AJ Brown is going to show out against this old team mainly because they're 31st versus the pass. they're third versus the run, the Tennessee Titans are. But mainly because they're 31st versus the pass, mainly because due to the running motions around in the secondary. But they will give up a big play here and there. But I think I'm going to say either A.J. Brown. I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts again, though. Mm. I think he's going to put everybody on notice.
I'm gonna go Jalen Hurts as well. I think Jalen Hurts has been on fire as of late. I do think I think this defense, they haven't really seen I think Jalen Hurts is a different kind of beast. I think a lot of his runs are very effective. It's not like a forced type of situation. When he gets these runs, I was listening to Jeffrey Simmons talk about the way that Jalen Hurts is, his ability to find these open seams in the middle of the field. So I do think his runs are effective. He knows when to take off and when to hold them and knows when to fold them.
Also about Beauclair was just mentioning that other teams didn't really have success until their quarterbacks pulled it down and ran, because a lot of times some quarterbacks don't have the wherewithal to see if they got coverage back there, and everybody's got their back turned. And when everybody gets their back turned, you turn around and bang, run it.
We're gonna talk about shout out to Sergeant Walker. We're gonna go defensive MVP. Who you think will be defensive MVP versus the Titans?
You know who it better be, one of the fucking linebackers. This is who it better be.
Oh yeah,
it better be. If it's not a linebacker, it's gotta be a defensive lineman. Hold on, let me see. I'm gonna say Hargrave.
Oh,
it's been a minute. It's been a minute since he showed up. I feel like it's time for him to shine this game. So like you catch as a defensive lineman, you start to catch like when you're on the rise, and then you kind of plateau a little bit, but then you want to rise a little bit more. I think it's about time for him to show up a little bit more, mainly because he's not going to be as tired as they normally were because of the rotation. So I think he's going to be the one to show up. But it needs to be a linebacker.
That's where I was leaning. I'm leaning towards our strongest linebacker that's been around all year. It's going to be TJ Edwards. I mean, you just look at comparatively against the rest of the team, this guy's got 31 more combined tackles than the next guy on our defense. I think he's been all over the field. I think that he's going to be a crucial part of stopping Derrick Henry.
AJ from the Rafters says, sweaty or Hargrave? Robert says Jordan Davis. Rick chimes in with the TJ Edwards. Mark said Hurts MVP. Okay. I'm going to go Hargrave was a good one. I was going to say a defensive back, but I think I'll give it.
They're going to have less than 19 passes this game.
They might get a pick. They might get a pick or two. If we put the heat on, because my pigeons on the deep on their offensive line, a couple of them have switched positions. Uh-huh. And then if Ben comes out there and he gets rocked, he's gonna be Batman. He's gonna be sitting on the sideline.
Look at Rick with the Reed Blankenship. if Reed gets another interception, and he's going to be legendary status for a short amount of time. You know how the media does in Philly. They'll have you the whole
Hall of Fame of this season. Yeah.
They'll have Reed Blankenship NFTs. Like, it'll be a thing.
Blankenship Enterprises.
I'm gonna go with Darius Slay. I'm gonna go with a pick six. I think we need one. I think that one bounced off his forehead.
I was if
he would have just caught that outright.
That could have been a pick six, yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at the landscape of how things were going, of how the offense was flowing, or flowing away from that.
Interesting. Yes. Okay. I think shout out to Prime. He's out here at work, Christmas dinner.
I heard dinner.
Hopefully he's not coughing all over the turkey.
At least he gets his Christmas related items in December. I get my Christmas bonus in freaking March 15th. What sense does that make?
Christmas bonus in March 15th?
Yep. Makes sense? Nope.
How does that work?
Fucking accounting. I don't know.
What about you? Thank you. Getting a Christmas bonus?
Nah, I just give it to myself.
Okay. He's like, I just make it rain on myself.
You know it.
Yeah, man. If you guys have any questions in the chat, let us know. I saw some old ones. I saw some questions about Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins today put on his Twitter. He said that first and foremost, the Saints own his rights. But if he said he's still not backing down from what he said, but he's basically saying it doesn't look like that's going to happen. But he stands on his athletic ability.
Why we fleece the Saints again? Why we fleece the Saints?
Because that how many times have you heard that question? Have people asked about Malcolm?
Oh my God! Everybody wants to bring Malcolm back.
You talking about me? How many times have I heard it? I've only heard it. I heard it when he first said it. That was pretty much it.
I've seen it a bunch online.
Anthony says, have you guys known a Reed that could not hit?
J.R. Reed.
he couldn't dodge a fence either.
Too soon.
Too soon. Just a bit outside.
Yeah, that was not right. But they said, how much percentage of the world is covered by water, and the rest is covered by Ed Reed?
Exactly.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other questions you see in the chat?
Nah, I don't see any questions. But I haven't been looking. I just look up when they pop up at the bottom of the screen.
Speaking of work, what are you doing, crew? Or too private? We're family, right?
What do I do for work?
Yeah, what do you do for work, Evan?
I edit for a medical company. I make medical videos, pharmaceutical commercials, educational content, all that fun stuff.
And you produce live shows in real life, too.
I do. I've got a legitimate studio, and I also produce this.
I work in business legal affairs for Paramount, Nickelodeon, MTV, entertainment, 20-something years. This is more fun.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm just your friendly neighborhood tank.
Tank is an overseer. Don't he got stuff going on, man.
I got a little stuff going on, here and there. I appear here and there. Watch my birds.
This guy gets paid to just show up. and then turn down little kids for autographs. So you have the wrong.
I don't turn down all little kids. If you're a kid, the smartest thing to do is come up and get your autograph. Keep your mouth closed if you're the fan of another team. If you come up there bumping your gums and running your mouth at me, I'm gonna give you what you bring up to me. it's a valuable lesson. What you think? You think somebody's above being told to go fuck themselves? Nobody's above that.
I mean, even they told Santa Claus in Philly that too. So nobody's above the law.
Nobody's above being kicked in the teeth. Remember that.
Now Heath asked, did y'all see Shady put on the Eagles helmet to praise Hurts for being the best QB this year?
I saw some of that. Yeah. It was on NFL Network.
Shady's been riding hard for the Eagles right now. Like the whole season. He has not let anybody on his Fox Sports show. He gives it to them anytime he can.
He heard that the Eagles fans wanted Malcolm back, and he's like looking at our backfield, and he's like, I think I could squeeze myself in there. He's trying to butter us up.
AJ says, Tank has earned the right to get paid to be seen.
Well, thank you. Thank you, AJ. See?
Now, Anthony says, how surprised are you all on how quickly Hurts has progressed in 1 year?
I was not surprised at all. I've been pounding the pavement for him since he entered the NFL. I've shot down people like Evan and other people, John and other people, Andrews. I've shot down a bunch of random citizens who were not that high on Jalen, who he had to show and prove to them what he is and what he will become.
And he certainly has. I mean, I am extremely surprised at how much he has progressed. I was hoping the goal was that he would progress this year and that we wouldn't have to spend either of those first round picks on a quarterback next season. Let me finish my point. And so with that was the goal. Don't have to spend a first round pick on either on a quarterback. And Jalen Hurts has gone above and beyond, man. I'm going to be real with you. The step that he has taken this year is galactic. He has extremely improved both mentally with his arm. He already had it with his legs, but he's a complete quarterback now, man. And completely night and day from what I saw last year. And, yeah, all the confidence in the world in him.
From following dissertation, all you had to say was that you were wrong.
from following Hurts all his career, from his freshman year on, he has progressed. If anyone's watching closely, he has progressed every year that he's played. I think he's just taken his game to another level in terms of just knowing that he's the guy here and being able to just take it all in and become that guy. Like obviously he's seen quarterbacks ahead of him play in front of this crowd, and knowing what the city wants, he is giving you what you want to see from your quarterback. No nonsense. He's doing the job. He's doing the work. He's out here in the streets. He's kissing, out here shaking hands. He's out here shaking hands, kissing babies. He's doing everything he needs to do to be that guy. And then in the locker room, when, all the players get to see him and know him, he's a dude that they respect. And at the end of the day, that's what, this team needed, a quarterback that the whole team respects.
A leader.
Man, he has definitely progressed. So hats off to him.
Absolutely.
But I did see Slay. Shout out to Mark. He's bringing up – did you see this Hurts high school photo? Slay called him ugly.
Ugly, yeah.
Let's see. Have you seen it? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I saw it.
I need to see it because it's –
From a barber's perspective,
it's a pretty whack haircut.
I used to get seriously angry at the edge up that he had. I was just like wanted to edge it up so bad. But yeah,
couple of follically challenged men talking about haircuts.
I said barber's perspective.
Evan's really just like shot putting us, isn't he?
Wait till I have
your day is coming, Ev. Don't worry, you'll be back. Don't worry,
it's all good though.
We'll give you you have to do an initiation to get into the club.
when you lose your hair and then you don't accept that you lose your hair, then it's a bad scene.
You got the sunroof.
You can't be out here just doing.
The unlicensed sunroof.
Like when you know, it's time to go.
But you know when you truly know when it's time to go. Yeah, when the barber has to lay you down to do your edge up, to do your front of your edge up, when he has to lay you down in a barber chair, he's trying to get in the water, because that means he can no longer like go up on, get up on side of you and have you do like this.
Yeah.
If he has to lay you down to get, I was in the barber shop getting a shave my head and stuff one time, and they laid the dude down to do. I said, what are you doing? It's like I'm laying him down to give him an edge up. I was like, dude, and his edge up was like way back here. Damn. It's like Teddy Pendergrass, but think you better let it go.
Yeah, give me the five head. When you say give me the five head, like nah. A shout out to Edgar Joseph here. Shout out to the elite. Avi here. He's got the whole family matching in Eagles. Attire. He says, will this be the first time all of NFC East teams will be in the playoffs? Someone asked me this today. I think so.
I think so, too.
I think it's possible. I think it's definitely possible. But I also look at that NFC West division. They got some strong teams out there as well.
Yeah, but they're still like all of their records. I think we're the only division with everybody above 500.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they have both the 49ers and Seattle is what I'm saying.
Seattle, I think, is like 6-6 or 6-5 or something like that.
Like 6-4.
Yeah. Now, Tim Perkins says, how can our special teams improve?
Well, man, you got to put some speed demons on there. You got to go and get the guys who know what it means to just be out there for one play and it count against the game. The guys who know that the more you can do, that's how you get be active on Sunday, the more you can do. It's like when I was first playing, I was fortunate enough to be playing with some older people, and they would always be the 45, because it's 45 active. It was a 53 man roster, 45 active. You know how you become one of the 45 active? The more you can do. If you can play special teams, if you're on all special teams at the number one or the number two, or you play D end and D tackle, or you got to be a starter. The first 22 I already take care of, they're the starters. And then the other part was being on special teams and being on all the sub packages. But special teams was the number one way that you know that you'll play.
Shout out to Bob from Down Under. He says he's late. But you are from Down Under, so obviously it's okay. He said, have we talked about our linebackers have dropped off production scheme and or tape to blame?
Yep.
Definitely scheme.
It's a scheme. It's like when I was telling you guys about the rub double. The way you get the rub double off of guys, you have to slant and stuff. The rub double is not coming off if you only have six guys in the box. The rub double is they're gonna push that defensive lineman into the linebacker's lap. And there's nowhere definitive for them to go. There's like when you assign to people an assignment to do, your assignment just can't be, I got the B gap on run. It's like you're supposed to hit the B gap on run. That's like versus pass, you have a certain player. I was like, but we have yet, our defensive scheme has yet to do that, has yet to cut the run up so to make it better for our linebackers. I'm like, if the next time you get a chance, look at the film and look how many times you see TJ Edwards trying to put his hand on one of the defense tackles back so he can get around him, or he sees the play too late as it's going back because they're getting pushed. And it's not the end of the world that our guys get movement. It's just that it happens too frequently. And it happens frequently because they're in front of them and you're not gonna win every double team battle. I was like, and then you may sit for a double team. And they're not double teaming you, so you pretty much just stuck on the line, and the other guy goes right up to the backer, and they got pretty much a wall. So I think it's more of the scheme than anything, and his refusal to slant or do any run blitzes.
Thank you, Lucy. Now, Anthony, he asked, do you guys like the black Johns? The black helmets was a beast. You know, it was almost like the helmets were so – they blended in so nicely that I didn't even – kind of realized at the end of the game that it was a different helmet.
What's up?
That's kind of how I felt when they originally dropped the new helmet design. Is that right. Like the dark green, the midnight green is already so dark as is that the transition to the black isn't that noticeable. I almost feel like the black helmet, I like the look. I like the black on black everything look, but I just feel like it would have looked better if it was like a matte black.
That's what I thought they was going to do the matte black. If they did a matte black, it'd have been sexy as a mug. Mm-hmm. But it's like somebody else has said that it's such a transition, it's such a dark green that as it's getting in the light, mm-hmm. how it's turning a little bit darker. Yep. And that's what somebody tweeted that to me. It's like all black in the green helmet is almost the same as all black with a black helmet. So
it's almost like a light skinned black dude and a dark skinned black dude.
Not really, but continue.
Why you hating house?
Because I'm chocolate to be exact.
Now before we get out of here, man, we appreciate everyone sticking around. Shout out to Mr. Beauclair for hanging around and giving us his Titans perspective. Always like to ask some questions from the other side and get their input. But before we get out of here, last word.
I go for a quick last word. Hopefully, we're gonna come out here and we're gonna kick the Titans around a little bit and have a good time and have us a victory Monday. We need to. This is one of the games that we need our Jonathan Gannon to step up as a coordinator and put our guys in a winning scheme. This is a team that if you stand in front of them, they will block you and then eventually they'll get some movement. They split the time of possession 30-30. So, you know, it's up to us what they do with the 30 that we give them, or if they get 35 or 40 because we can't get off the field because we're bending but not breaking. But we still will win this game. My score for this game is 28-10, Birds.
28-10, huh?
I'm gonna take a page out of David's book, and I do believe that this is going to be a low-scoring affair. I think that the Titans are going to try and retain the possession as long as they can, but I see it shaken out to a 17-10 victory.
Interesting.
17-10
Oh yeah, and just one other thing I want to add on to that. If you look at the schedule, we got a whole string of away games coming up. Big part of Fourth of John the past 3 years, we've been linked up with the Goofy Gators, doing toy drive for Christmas. This Titans game is pretty much our last home game before Christmas. So you know, we want to help kids of all fandoms, even if that might annoy Hollis, make sure that they have a happy Christmas. And, you know, but we're trying to hook the kids up.
Take care of the kids. Don't worry about it. I go to the hospital, the children's hospital, sucker, if you must know.
Yeah, so if you have the ability to donate anything to Goofy Gators, there's a Venmo link that is provided that goes directly to Goofy Gators, and then you could also bring toys to the tailgate, and we will get them to them. And 100% of the proceeds goes to all of these kids in need.
Shout out to Jesse Wines for the tailgate, as always, man. Doing a great job hooking us up with the flyer there. Don't get lost now. If you look at every damn post, we put a map. Follow the map. I
use Xfinity Live as a reference on this map.
I specifically designed it, and I told Jesse, I said, people are still going to get lost, and I always get a message a couple days later and say, man, I wish we went on the tailgate. I got lost. You know, I really wanted to come hang out, but we're going to be out there early in the morning. You can come before 8 if you're crazy, but we're giving you some leeway. I'll be in line at around 5:30 just to get the spot.
Damn.
So, you know, I know Tank will be at the, you know, very
not this week.
Not this week?
No, this week.
Okay. You just going to be at home?
No, I may be at Dolan's. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I may be at Dolan's. I may come down and hang with you guys. I don't know.
Oh.
I may slap down and say what's up and slap high fives and stuff.
Sign some autographs?
Maybe get a cheesesteak off the grill or something.
Sign some autographs? So bring some pins, man.
I ain't bring no damn pins. I take a picture.
No, I said
I'm going to have a good time too, damn it.
Okay. You don't threaten us with a good time, but yeah. Before we get out of there, last word, thank you all for staying tuned. We will see you guys shortly if you come tailgate. Like Evan said, check out the tour drive we're doing. Shout out to AmeriKick with Mark, Karate Mark, Die Hard Philly jumped on the 302 Birds podcast. They jumped on recently. They're out collecting toys in Delaware, a couple spots. So they're gathering toys. Hey man, if you want to be a Santa this week, be a Santa this week. You know. as always, thanks for sticking around, and we'll see you guys in the next one. As always, fly, Eagles, fly.